this morning, and that the Lord changed the message this morning based on my reading. That doesn't happen very often. Most people, I've talked about how during the week, the Lord will lay certain impressions on my heart, certain verses, and I'll be walking around and they'll just seem to flow together, and I'll come on Saturday night and I'll put them together as I saw them during my prayer. And last night I was doing that, and there was no witness of the Spirit of God whatsoever as I wrote the verses down. And I don't always worry about that, because I've had times that there was no witness to the Spirit of God just because I wasn't in the right mind while I was doing it. I knew those were verses the Lord had dealt with me on. But this morning, in my reading, he just showed me something. I saw it differently than I ever saw it before, and determined with myself, this is what God would have me to preach. Say, what about that message that you did last night and God gave you during the week? Well, maybe 1 o'clock, maybe not. I don't know. All right. We'll see. But Mark chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 24. And let's go ahead and Dick Ruggles, would you be so kind as to pray for this service?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for being able to worship openly in your name. Father, we just pray for the open hearts and minds that hear your word and the message that you have for us.
You know, the verse before, and we won't read it because then everybody will say that I backed up and had you get the context, but he's saying if anybody have ears to hear, let him hear, okay? And it's that whole idea that having ears, you hear not. And those of you with children, you understand that, okay? You tell your child something to do, they'll look at you, nod, they can even repeat it, and then an hour later you realize they didn't hear what I said, all right? Wives, you're that way with your husbands, you know. He'll be sitting there at the breakfast table nodding, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, you know. And then when you buy the things, you told him you're going to buy, what, you buy that? Well, I told you at breakfast, you know. But God has that same problem with people. But then he goes into verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Don't we have a song like that? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. All right? We have that, don't we? All right? And Jesus says that. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet. And, you know, we have a word called meter. What is that word meter? It's something that measures. Okay? Be careful what you meet. What is that? The measurement you use. Okay? Talks about judge not that you be not judged, for with what measure you judge, you know, how you meet some judgments, that's how you'll be judged, okay? I choose to judge you this way, okay, God will choose to judge you that way, okay? Be careful how you hear, because with what measure you meet, you measure how much you're going to hear. You measure that. Aren't there people who said, I'm never going to listen to him again, okay? You measure that, okay? There are certain politicians, if they were to come in here and this building was on fire and they told us, we probably wouldn't listen. We'd have to see the smoke and the fire ourselves before we'd believe it. So he says, be careful how you meet. And he's talking in the context of hearing. Okay? What kind of measure do you put on what you listen to? And then he says, it shall be measured to you and unto you that hear shall be more given. This is one of these things, you know, the word saved in your Bible always means delivered, but it doesn't always mean delivered from the same thing. For example, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, take heed unto reading, by this you'll save yourself and others. Timothy's not saved. No, that isn't what he's talking about. He's saying, Timothy, if you'll read, you'll save yourself from some of the stupid things that people do, okay? And you'll save some of your people from the stupid things that people do if you'll give the reading, okay? So the thing is here, if you hear more, God can deliver you more, okay? If you choose to hear more, God can deliver you more. And so the Apostle Paul said, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's one of those things, again, I've said this quote over and over again. People ask me, in my early days of Christianity, why do you go to a Wednesday night service? And I thought about it and I said, for consistent delivery. I need what's preached on Wednesday night. Maybe some of you don't, okay? I've left here many a time. You know, for those of you who listen to Pastor Haynes' Wednesday night message, he used the analogy of your light dimming, and he used his headlights as an example, that his headlights had become dim or whatever. When he changed out Tim's here recently, they become all dim, and he talked about getting his fixed or whatever, and you know, the guy had taken and used an abrasive and cleaned his headlight all off, and he was glad to use his analogy. I got a phone call from Vermont. A woman said, what a blessing. I've just been praying to the Lord how to get my headlights working, and he preached on it. And I'm not sure that was the point of his message, but I'm glad you got something out of it, all right? And again, a good woman, you know, somebody, you'd be surprised how many people around the country, around the world, will regularly listen to what was preached at the Black Creek Baptist Church. And of course, it's a woman that really does care to know the things of the Word of God. And I'm sure, notice I'm protecting myself because she'll hear this, all right? I'm sure she really got the real message, all right? All right. So, what you hear, the more preaching you listen to, the more God can deal with you. You know, I always go back to when I first sat underneath a real Bible-believing Baptist preacher. He was a 6'3" black man with no high school education, who was in the Army, and who was preaching a King James Bible. And I just remember being stunned at hearing this kind of doctrinal preaching. And, you know, it moved me. And then when I went and heard Bill Randall preaching, I remember the shock of sitting there and stuff bubbling up inside of me that I hadn't thought about in a long time. Oh, my goodness, what is this stuff? Okay, it's stirring things inside of me, and I'm seeing things that I'd forgotten about, and they're there. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost working through preaching. Okay? And it's one of the great values to preaching. I always think of my friend Lee Furr, who visited me from the military there, and he came, and afterwards he said, you know, I feel like all the time I've ever sat in church before, I was sitting watching a play. Now I feel like I was invited behind the curtains to see what really goes on, okay, with real doctrinal preaching. But it's that idea again, and so many of you, when you came in here and you heard doctrinal preaching, someone who digs in there and a doctrine, you had that happen. Oh my goodness, look what's happening inside of me, okay? I've had people misunderstand that, think that I was against them, okay? You know, Del Morey, for example, he's too cheap to go get regular glasses, so he goes by reading glasses. And so when he's reading, he has to put them on. Then he can't see anybody with them on, so he takes them off. We had a lady who decided that's him intimidating me. And I mean that. Because when Dale preaches, he preaches with authority and power. And so she thought that was a physical gesture against her and against all of us. Like, I'm willing to fight you, okay? And again, that's sad. I didn't understand that at the time, that that had been going on, but it happened, okay? But it's that thing again, when the Word of God comes with power, it has that effect. John Wesley and George Whitefield talked about older women who sometimes lost their minds hearing him preach. Okay. Imagine the stirring of God so powerful, and quite often that'll happen in an older person who's been abused their whole life. And God forbid that we have anybody that have that trouble, but we've had a lot of people come in here who have experienced abuse in their lifetimes, and they just have, okay? And we have sometimes wives come in here whose husbands are abusive. Oh, not physically. They're just jerks, okay? And when they come in, or whatever, and the preaching is like that, so there are times they'll misunderstand and think, oh, this is one more person judging me. No, that's the Word of God. God forbid that I come in here and target you personally. God forbid that I spy on your life and try to preach things to straighten you out, okay? If I'm preaching things, to straighten things out, it's maybe because I've perceived a pattern in the church, okay? But oftentimes, there's people, well, you're going over things, and, hit me. I'm not aiming at you, okay? Like the preacher saw, you know, stand there, and the lady said, "Well, you really stepped on my toes." He said, "Then I missed. I was aiming for your heart." Right? All right. So, verse 25 again, "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." What is the context? The context is you hearing preaching, hearing what God says. The more you hear what God says, the better you have. But if you're just hearing as little as you can, God may take away even that little bit. Isn't there a parable that talks about the devil coming in and just snatching the word of God out of people's hearts? Okay? Be taken away even that little bit. It goes on and it says this, verse 26. "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." I don't know about you, but when I've planted seeds, I don't lay awake at night wondering, what are they doing? Okay. If I've tended the ground right, gotten the rocks out of there, weeded it properly, put the right seed in there, got the right fertilizer, I don't have to worry about it. You know the other reason I don't have to worry about it? I don't garden. All right, but for those who do, all right, you know how that works. All right, so he goes on and he says this, verse 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then that full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So this is how the word of God works. You preach. The sower soweth the seed. He preaches and it goes out there. God judges you on how you hear what's preached. It says so. And he said, how you meet. What is your balance? Do you listen to a lot of preaching? Okay. And again, I'm not one of these people who listens day and night. I'm only going to listen to religious stuff. No, I listen to more than just religious stuff. Okay. You know, I try to keep pure as far as television shows. Ruth Ann and I were so disappointed. We had a British TV show. We enjoyed two seasons of it. We went the third season. And they have a sneaky way for getting nudity in these shows now. Mm-hmm. They show it on a computer screen. The policeman says, "Look at this woman." Well, that's about the last we're watching that show, all right? So a lot more than I was looking for, all right? And but again, I don't want that kind of stuff in my life. I will listen to other stuff other than preaching, but I love to hear preaching. I love it when preaching goes on. I love it when it teaches. I love it when the word of God goes forth, okay? We do have people in this church who listen to preaching in their cars, listen to preaching while they're working, listen to that kind of thing. God bless you for that. You know, God's doing that work. He said so. Now go with me to Isaiah 55. You know, I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and there are advantages to that. Anybody who grew up as a Roman Catholic knows that there were advantages to growing up in it. Okay? What are the advantages? For one thing, you had some character. Okay? You went to church on Sunday. Okay? Protestants always thought they could miss. Catholics went to church on Sunday. Okay? One of the other things of character in it was that you learned to take the shame. You know, we'd walk in on Ash Wednesday and have the ashes on our forehead, and some would laugh or whatever else. You know, when I was a kid, you couldn't eat meat on any Friday. They later changed it to just Lent, but you went, and you know, you'd be at someone's house, "I'm sorry, I can't eat that," or whatever else. And so you built with some character, okay? There's other things I don't agree with in the Catholic Church, okay? But there are some things. That's why you'll find a lot of Baptist preachers, really good ones, a little grit in their craw, had been Roman Catholics, okay? And, you know, and when they got saved, they took a lot of that stuff, that earnestness of the Catholic Church, and used it for through the Word of God. But when I was a Catholic, the whole idea of going to church was what they called the Mass, and they would transform the bread into the body of Jesus Christ. And of course, I don't believe that happened, but they do. But then the priest would come and give a homily. He would take 5 to 10 minutes, and he would give a little homily of some sort. And I remember some of them. Some of them were worthwhile. Okay. But it was like a flavoring. It was like cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving. It's there, but it's not the main part of the meal. Okay, that's certainly not what you come together for, okay? So, and a lot of Protestant churches are that way. They come together and it's all the jibber jabber and the singing and this and that or whatever, and the guy gets up and talks for 20 minutes and quotes out of 42 different Bibles or something, and you know, and everybody goes on or whatever, but it doesn't change lives. One of the things that's different about our services is they're built around the preaching of the Word of God.
That's right.
That's what it's built around. This is the turkey of Thanksgiving dinner. I'm the turkey, all right? But a lot of people call me turkey, all right? But the thing is, this is what it's built around, because the church, according to the Apostle Paul, is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Right. This is where we teach. That's one of the reasons you won't find many pastors as unselfish with their pulpit as I am. Okay,
yeah.
Come on in here and preach if you've got some. And you know what I judge a preacher on? It's not whether I agree with him or disagree with him. Did he help my people? Did it help them when he came in here? Did it make them better when that person preached? Did it give them something? You know, and because I don't have all the answers, okay? If someone can come in and preach and give you stuff, and I love that when they do that. But that's the purpose here, for us to come in and learn together. I love the fellowship. I love all of that, as far as that goes. But we preach the Word of God. So here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And of course, think of the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, 5 of them took that extra oil with them. Okay, what is that? Well, the oil is always symbolic of the Holy Ghost. They kept the things that were preached. They kept the things that were supposed to be. The others didn't take any extra. They didn't have that meted out to them. They didn't take extra with them. And when the Lord showed up, it didn't help 5 of them, and 5 of them it helped. Okay? And so, again, it's one of those things, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Who knows what next week will bring? Who knows? How many people remember President Trump making the announcement this is a national emergency, this COVID? Just an announcement, and it changed everything, didn't it? Changed everything. Who knows what next week will bring? Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Timothy fell off a 2-story house yesterday, okay? Fortunately, fell on his head, so there was no damage. But regardless, I heard that, you know, I'm a parent. What's your heart doing to hear that, okay? I came in here and praised God and thanked God, okay? And because he came out of it all right, okay? Came out of it, landed on his feet, and did well, okay? But again, this could have been a day of mourning in here. This could have been a day with people crying out to God with a paralyzed young man. This could have been a time where we're weeping uncontrollably because he said this could have been such a day. We don't know, okay? You know, knows not what a day may bring forth. So he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, okay? Today is the day of salvation, the Apostle Paul said. And he's quoting out of the book of Isaiah that this is the day the Lord hath given. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, okay? Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. His thoughts. Again, I've told you this thing. I have ministered to street bums on 3 continents, and I have never yet met a person who wasn't thrilled with their own thoughts. Who isn't sure that their thinking is good. You know what the Bible says? Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. You know one of the challenges to come into the house of God is? God's going to challenge your thoughts. God's going to make you iron out your thoughts. God's going to make you review your thoughts in light of the Word of God, in light of what it says. Okay? God's going to make you do that. And I know people who'd rather do anything than have to change their thoughts. It's a thing of pride with them. This is the way I think. This is the way I grew up. This is the way I was taught. Okay? And you know what? There may be some virtue to that. One of the best statements Jack Hiles ever made, and I'll boast on him for this, he just said when he meets a man, he likes to think that there's probably something this man could teach me if I had time to listen. Okay? And I don't care who it is. Chances are everyone has something they could teach you if you had time to listen. And again, I'm not saying when I'm saying God wants to change your thoughts that everything about you is wrong. But everybody needs cleansing. Okay? You know, I say that a woman's mind is cleaner than a man's because she changes it more often. You know? But in all seriousness, let's just turn that around, okay? If little boys weren't told to change their underwear, they probably never would. Okay? If they weren't told to change their sheets, they probably never would. You know what? They stink. And the same thing happens with your thinking, okay? It doesn't change from time to time. Chances are you stink. All right. Going on, and it says this. Verse 7 again, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Everybody's sure they know how God thinks, okay? There's everybody sure that they, you know, and they always have some verse out of the Bible. They don't know the context or anything else, but they're willing to throw it at you or whatever else. That's why it's, you know, what are the advantages, I guess, of, say, my younger children over my older children? Is my younger children have had time to just fellowship with me, okay? Now, that may not be an advantage to some of you, but an advantage in the sense of knowing your father, okay? Just a chance to fellowship with me more, know me more in that sense, see what I'm like, relaxed, having fun, working, anything of that sort. My older children saw a different side of me, and in some ways they advantaged over that. But my younger ones are far more immersed in me as a person, far more. They're around me more and such. It's a great advantage to them in that. When Rick Rose, when I saw his youngest child, 4 years old, and Rick's in his 50s, I said, he's about to turn 50. I said, how old were you when that baby was born? 43. I said, you will never regret having that child. When you're 63 years old and that child is 20, you will be so glad that you had that child. You will be so glad that you went on and had those more children, okay? Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. I mean, it's such a wonderful thing. So many people, you know, the Kuntzes, they've just determined to have as many children as God will give them. Let me tell you something. They're happy children. Okay? They're just happy children. And when the Kuntzes are old, do you think they'll say, oh, gosh, wish we didn't have all these grandchildren. Gosh, we wish we didn't have all these children coming to visit us. I remember one of the last times I ever visited my father over in Machias over 20 years ago. We're just talking about what he does. He said, some days I just sit here and wish one of my children would come in the door. Okay? And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Okay? It's a wonderful thing to have. But it's that idea again. If you spend more time with your father, you learn more about him. Okay? Spend more time with God. Spend more time with the preaching of the Word of God. Spend more time with that, and you'll know God better. Right. He'll change your thoughts. He'll change your ways. Okay? Now, he says in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Jesus talked about how the earth brings forth that seed on its own. Leave it alone. Here, the Lord is showing you another thing going on. God's sending that rain upon the earth. God's sending it there, okay? Anybody here that can make rain come? Okay? Yeah, plant a picnic. You know, but other than that, you can't. God sends that rain. God in his mercy sends it. I read a missionary story one time of a man who ran an orphanage with over 300 blind children in China. And he talked about the village he was in. Not one single villager was ever converted. And he said they had no idea how many times in the 40, 50 years he was there that during times of drought he would stand on the hills and beg the great God of Israel to please bring water to these people. The rains would come. He said he had no idea how many times the disease would hit. And he'd go out there and he'd pray again and ask God, please protect this village. Please protect it. And the protection would come. He had no idea. God sends those things. God does that. And he says, God's sending the rain. That seed is there. It's planted, but God's doing something else. What is that? Not only is the seed the word of God, but the seed is the rain that God sends. Okay? It's not just enough to have that word hidden in your heart. It's also letting that word go forth that God has, like that rain, and let it keep working and working with that seed and doing something. And so Jesus said, be careful how you meet out what you hear. Okay? Be careful with that. See to it that you hear the word of God. You know, over and over again, Pastor Hain will tell you this, someone will move out of the church, and you know, he can probably give you 50 years of these things. I'm going to Kansas City, or I'm going to, LA, or whatever else. Then they get there. We found the greatest home. We found a place to work. All the schools are. We can't find a church. Wasn't important to you, was it?
Right.
Wasn't important to you where you moved, was it? That was the last thing on your mind. You saw to it there was a place to work. You saw to it there was a nice house. You saw to it there was a place for all these things, but never sought out a place to hear the word of God. And then you get there and realize, I can't hear the word of God like I want to hear the word of God. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty important. Pretty important. Verse 11 again, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Go to verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I said that to Pharisees. We don't think of them as saved people, and by the way, they weren't. Then how is the kingdom of God within them? Because every lost man that has ever heard the word of God remembers those words. Whatever, the deceit of the kingdom of God. Okay? Some of you have testimonies of that when you were lost, the verses that would play in your heart. Verses that would play. That's the word of God. That's the kingdom of God right there. Okay? What's going on? Now God's trying to rain more upon it and to bring some of the front. Remember that Jesus Christ is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's the kingdom of God. And it's in every single man. It's in every single person. But not every single person is in the kingdom of God. Okay? It takes the new birth to get them in the kingdom of God. I'm reading some books now on Baptist history and Baptist polity, and one of the hard parts is these Baptists of the 1800s is they had no reverence for the King James Bible. Therefore, every time the King James Bible disagreed with their doctrine, they just changed the Bible. And so verses like this, the kingdom of God is within you. They see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as the same thing as the visible church in front of you. And there are points to that where that's right. But then they have to violate this where the kingdom of God, okay, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul said that, not me. Okay? That's Romans chapter 14. That's what the kingdom of God is. Okay? And you want to know one of the things? Jesus Christ said, talk about a little child. We got two little babies in this church today. Okay? We got Noah Benjamin and we got Malachi Zadok. All right? And both of them are in there. And Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of God. What's that mean? It means inside of those babies is righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that sin nature hasn't corrupted their thinking yet. Okay? Now they have a sin nature. Any mother knows that. Okay? I mean, screaming its head off, you walk over there, just smiles, you know, it's not hungry, anything else, just bored, wants mom to pay attention to it, okay? That baby's got a sin nature, but God hasn't held that sin nature against that child. That's why it says, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. That child can't understand the laws of God. Moses, when he stood in front of Israel and he told them how many died in the wilderness, he said, but those of you who are too young to know the difference between good and evil, you're alive here to this day, okay? Even though you said the same thing your fathers did, you were too young for God to hold that against you. You couldn't hold the law of God. I don't know how old a child is when they become accountable to God. There's no magic age where an angel rings a bell, okay? Every one of you were at a different age when you understood your accountability before God, okay? One of the problems today with children is they lose their innocence far too young.
Yes.
Okay? Far too young. And it's so grievous when that happens. Okay? And it introduces to things that never should at that age have been introduced to them. And there was a time, I understand Victorian days were overly this or whatever, and I actually know a true story. A girl telling me about her sister going to get married this out of West Virginia. This was probably 45 years ago. She told me the story, and it had happened 5 years before that. But she said her mother talked to her the night before the wedding. Her sister came running, "Help! Don't let a man do that to me!" And running on. And, so I understand there's points where someone needs to be trained and talked to ahead of time. But we do destroy the innocence of children way too quickly in this country, okay? And it is not good, okay? It has a bad effect upon people. But regardless of that, it's that whole idea that those children, that little Victor, the kingdom of God is just like him, okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. If his parents are doing things right, and they're just like every parent, they make mistakes, they do other things right, that child will play in earnestness and innocence. When he's wrong, you take and warm that little rear end up, hug him, pray, comfort him, put him back out there. And by the way, a child who is properly trained and properly disciplined is the happiest child on this earth.
Yeah, right.
They are so happy. Okay. You take a child that the parents don't understand that, okay, it's all erratic whether or not they discipline them. It's what mood they're in. I'm in a bad mood today, so I'm going to scream at you and cuff you down. Tomorrow I'm in a good mood. I'm going to ignore what I was mad at yesterday. And well, that child's a miserable child.
Yeah.
They're miserable for other people to be around. Okay, they're not pleasant to be around. There's nothing better than a pleasant child. A child's just pleasant to be around, okay? And I grieve for the ones who are not pleasant to have around, okay? I grieve for them. Friday night, Tanya and Caleb were over, and when they left, I just told Caleb, I said, Caleb, you were a pleasant child to have here today. You know why? Because he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mother was busy with something, and she was talking with Steve. Well, actually, playing a game with Stephen and I, but we'll say talking earnestly. All right, but the thing is, he had to keep himself busy, and he just did, and he was pleasant to be around. It's such a wonderful thing to have a child like that. I remember as a child being unwelcome in so many places because I just was too erratic. Okay. Just too impetuous, doing too many things, or whatever else. And, it's just a hard thing. It makes a child unpleasant. And that's why one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give to a child is firm and consistent training. Consistent. I know liberals who don't believe in any spanking or anything else who actually have pleasant children because they're consistent with them. I know Baptists, we'll spank that kid and everything else, whose children aren't pleasant because they're not consistent. Okay? Their consistence is a huge thing. Where a child always knows what will happen because of what they did. That is the greatest gift you'll give your children. Okay? But the thing is, righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, that joy in the Holy Ghost, that's in that child and in every child. That's in you, because when you were born, the light, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world, is inside of you. And that's why Jesus told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you. But it doesn't do one bit of good unless the word of God goes forth, those words come into your heart, you keep listening to that, and you say, well, how much rain does it take? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know you inside out like God knows you. Okay? I told Chelsea this morning, I said, you wrote your testimony different than you ever wrote it the other day on Facebook. And I said, I'd really like you to amend what you have on the website and change that. She said, what do you mean? And here's what she said when she explained it to me. She said, I kept looking for salvation, looking for salvation, looking for salvation. She said, that night, I realized I need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I saw that my sin needed Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wanted him and nothing else. And you know what? The harvest was ripe, was ready to be picked. And Pastor Hain walked by there and plucked that harvest for God. Okay? Why? Because it was that exact moment, ready there. Why couldn't she get saved weeks earlier? Okay? Because again, God understood her. He knew her. And he's putting the word of God constantly to her to bring her to that place. Quit looking for a benefit. Look for the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the benefit. He is the benefit. We can say that over and over again. But again, it's like talking to a child who can repeat to you and then go do whatever they're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Pastor Hain?